Revolution at Org, episode 597, coming your way. 2024 version of Sustanon 250 Revisited. We're going to talk about this blend of four testosterone esters. That's what it is. We're going to talk about some misconceptions out there that really, really are ignorant on Sustanon, and people really giving bad advice on how to use Sustanon out there and not understanding about esters. So we're going to have a talk about that on this one as well. So first of all, you know, Sustanon, as I said, it is simply a blend of four different testosterone esters. And the original reason for putting this blend together was pretty simple. They wanted to put something together that had four different esters that picked up after each other. So with Sustanon, we've had different underground labs change it around a little bit. We've had underground labs add an ester. We've had underground labs do 350 milligrams a milliliter. But in this one, we're going to focus on the main Sustanon, which is the 250 milligram a milliliter option. Go ahead, Mobster. Yeah.
Yeah, something I say on these shows from time to time, Steve, is look at the medical use. And here's the reason for different esters in the example, although Steve's quite correct, in that UGLs have manipulated the ratios and changed the percentages of each product to suit performance enhancement versus medical use. So medically speaking, you've got a person, let's say they've been burnt in this example, Steve. You want something in the system that's going to stop catabolism, literally losing muscle because A, they've suffered horrendous injury, and B, they're laying in fucking bed and they're losing muscle tissue just from not being able to move around and eat and train and whatever else. So you want something that gets into the system real quick, which would be a short rester. And then once that clears, you want something else that's going to have a slightly longer effect in keeping muscle tissue on and enabling them to recover from the horrendous burn. So the medium ester and so on and so forth. So the ratios, medically speaking, with the short, the medium, and the longer-term esters are there so that they have something that works straight away and goes, and then something else that takes up the slack and so on, as Steve just described. Chemically speaking, it won't be that different in terms of the esters, but it will be the ratios, the percentage of the esters that's changed, whether it's a straightforward 25% and so on and so forth of all four esters, or whether the percentage has changed from perhaps the medical use. So like I said before, it applies to a lot of steroids. In terms of side effects and the effects on the body, look at, as with a lot of steroids, what it was medically used for, and you can kind of get an idea of the effects it's going to have on your body. Different percentages here, just slightly different ratios in terms of performance enhancement, but that's a different conversation. Back to you, Steve.
So let me go through what Sustanon contains. So the first one is, and this is what confuses a lot of people, Mobster, is it has 30 milligrams of testosterone propionate. And I'm going to explain shortly why it confuses people. And hopefully you guys listening to this, who are going to be the minority, by the way, because when I explain this, you're going to look at me and be like, oh my God, Steve, that's not what this guru on YouTube told me. Well, they're wrong. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to get into that shortly. I'm going to explain exactly why they're wrong. I'm going to use the science to prove they're wrong. Now, the next one on the list is testosterone phenylpropionate. Now, the propionate is a short ester. Phenylpropionate is like a medium-length ester. That's 60 milligrams. And the half-life is around 4.5 days. And the half-life of the testosterone propionate is 3 days. Next one is isocaproate. And this has a 9-day half-life. And this has 60 milligrams. And then finally, we're up to 150 milligrams because we've got 60, 60, and 30, right? So what's the remaining 100 milligrams, Mobster? Testosterone decanoate. And this has a 15-day half-life. Very, very, very long. And a lot of people, they talk about deca. You know, they're like, deca, deribolin, whatever. This is the ester. And deca, deribolin also has a long half-life. So again, if anyone who's used deca before knows, you don't have to inject deca every day. You only have to inject DECA like once a week at the most because it's a long ass ester, right? Even though a lot of people like to do it twice a week. So this 100 milligram of testosterone decanoate is a long fucking ester, okay? And that's the bulk of Sustanon. And really, the bulk of Sustanon, you're talking about only 30 milligrams out of 250 milligrams being testosterone propionate. So listen, the reason they put this together was to be used in testosterone replacement therapy, okay? And the reason they did is because they want you to take it and have each ester pick up after another. So the idea was you inject a large amount of this stuff infrequently, okay? So you would do 250 milligrams every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. Let me repeat myself. You would do 1 cc of this stuff, which is 250 milligrams, every 2 or 3 weeks. You have morons out there, okay? And I saw a guy, he runs some anti-aging clinic in Britain. I think you know I'm talking about Mobster. I saw him on a recent podcast or a recent YouTube video. And this idiot, okay, this shows you how dumb anti-aging people are. These are businessmen. They don't know anything about this stuff. And he was saying, oh, Sustanon has to be injected every day or every other day. I'm like, dude, you just want to slap these people. They're so fucking stupid. All right. Dude, are you a fucking idiot or something? I just fucking told you it has a 15-day half-life. So why the fuck would you inject something every fucking day that has a 15-day half-life? Makes no fucking sense. Oh, but it has propionate in it, this guy. This is why they get confused because they see that it has a little bit of propionate in it. So they think they're supposed to be used as propionate. You don't. You go by the
No.
longer ester whenever we're talking about a blend. You always go by the longer ester. You don't go by the short ester. And I'll
Yeah.
explain why. I'll explain why really quick before I bring you in, Mobster. Half-lives don't mean what you think, okay? It doesn't mean if something has a 15-day half-life after 15 days, it's out of your system. It just means that half of what you injected is out of your system. That's what it means. This means that even the propionate that's in Sustanon will be in your system for 15 days because you take the 3-day half-life, multiply it by 5, 15 days. The decanate will be in your system 70 days. Okay, that's a long fucking time that's going to be in your system. That's why they created Sustanon. They wanted something for people who are on long-term TRT that needed to inject, that didn't have to inject very often. You know, and that's the whole point. So there's no need to take Sustanon every day or every other day or even twice a week. Okay, you know, that is just stupid. That's not the way it was designed. You inject a larger amount, even if you're running it on a cycle, you inject a larger amount infrequently. So in this case, let's say you want to run 500 milligrams a week of Sustanon. Then you would do 2 cc's once a week. Or you could do, if you wanted to run 1,000 milligrams a week, you would do 4 cc's of this stuff every 2 weeks. And that would give you an average of 500 milligrams a week. I'm sorry. If you got 4 cc's every 2 weeks, you do 1,000 milligrams per week, but you get 2,000 milligrams in one shot. So you're basically cutting down on the number of injections you're having to do as often as possible. So really, if you want to inject every day, that's fine. That's your business. Go have fun. Get testosterone propionate. Sustanon is not to be injected every day. You're actually not using it correctly when you do that, and you're taking away the whole purpose of having a long ester blend attached to it in the first place. Go ahead, Mops. I hope I explained that
Yeah, I
clearly.
mean, something that Steve said in another show when we were talking about Sustanon is kind of interesting here. And I actually wrote down two things while Steve was talking. One was a blind spot, referring to how some users seem to forget that Sustanon is a blend of four esters. And although they understand the response, and it's one of my favorite steroids, as I've told Steve on previous shows, Sustan Deck has always bulked me up and I get strong on it and I like it. But it's a kind of blind spot for some people when they're kind of forgetting that there's a short, there's a medium, there's a long, and there's a really long acting ester in there. So the idea that you need to inject it this amount of times, or that you need to do it more frequently, or so on and so forth, is just stupid, because the smallest ester that's in there, the smallest amount is the one with the shortest ester. The biggest amount is the one with the longest ester. Therefore, that's the whole point of a blend. And this is something else I wrote down, Steve. Literally, people make up their own blends. They, can I inject these two into the, can I draw up into the same syringe and inject it at the same time, and so on and so forth? That's kind of like a homemade blend right there. The reasons why pharma UGLs produce blends is because people have asked them to, and because this particular blend, in the case of Sustanon, or testosterone blends, and sometimes one particular source that we approve actually calls, and it's still Sustanon, Steve, created that particular product, is because they know that that's the ratios that people are looking for when they put these things together. Never mind the original pharma slash medical use in the past. So it's kind of daft to use a blend with different esters in, and then think of it as the short ester only. I don't understand why people would think like that. And I suspect, as you said, Steve, that the money is blinding that particular individual. There's something that occurs to me, and ironic, of course, because we're doing a podcast, but just because you're doing a podcast and you have an audience doesn't make you a fucking expert. We got one person in this country, Steve, and I'm not even including myself. And I know some gurus in this country, one that's deceased, one that's still with us. The one that I'm thinking of now is the only person I know, and again, I'm not including myself, who's actually been to university and got certain degrees, chemical degrees, and so on and so forth, and particularly talks to the MOD and the police about specific PEDs and their place in society, using the police, used by prison officers, and so on and so forth. And that's precisely why he goes to talk to those organizations and gets paid to do so. He's highly qualified. But I can't think of anybody else that's actually qualified to talk about it in that particular way. So the idea that someone that sells it for you and has a life enhancement clinic or whatever the fuck is an expert is a fallacy. And the other thing, which is ironic in this particular regard, Steve, is even if that particular person was employing medical doctors, very few of them, almost none, are really qualified in a proper way. And even endocrinologists aren't, because they didn't focus on the application of the steroid use outside the medical field. So very few of them are able to sit down and say, ah, but I have studied athletes and I have studied athletes' usage. So there's a problem right there. Now, when we talk about it on forums, it's fun. But the idea that you could specifically focus on the shortest ester in there and that's how you would apply it makes no sense. It's the least amount of the four esters in the mix. So that doesn't make any sense as well. In fact, I will actually agree what Steve said earlier on. When I've used Sustendeca, I dosed them both twice a week. But in terms of Steve's quite correct, chemically speaking, the fact that the stuff was still in my system for fucking weeks, indeed 70 days, in one example, as Steve pointed out, proves that, but hopefully, I would have probably still had some in my system, even a metabolite, by the time I went into my next fucking cycle. So, I think I was doing the thing of Steve's as it completely cleared my system before I do my next cycle. Am I still getting the effects of the Sus and Deca cycle that I've just done, and so on and so forth? You have to think like that, guys. It's the reason why we encourage the longest time that you possibly can off between cycles, and especially when you're using very long acting esters with 15-day half-lives and so on and so forth, and clearance time in multiples of weeks and stuff. It needs to be clear on a specific, and of course, again, and we didn't touch on this so much with Sustenance, Steve, especially if you're a tested athlete. The reality of the situation in this particular example, Steve, is that it's Sustenon and a few other steroids are very easy to test for, and the tests are getting better and better and better all the time. So this is not going to be used by fighters, MMA, et cetera, but they're getting tested all the time, and some of those tests are failing 2 years after the sample has been taken. So we've had pro MMA guys come onto the forums, ask about PEDs, and I've had to talk of, yeah, if you make it, you're more likely to be tested. If you get to a higher level, you're more likely to be tested. And very high-ranking athletes have been caught 2 years after the sample was taken. It's just come back for retest, and so on and so forth. So you need to be aware of the clearance times. You need to understand how it works. You need to understand, literally, in this example, Steve, that there will still be some in your fucking system the time you go into the next cycle. How many people are having 70 days off? That's 10 weeks, Steve, between cycles. We know of a great many former members that are on a lot more frequently than that, and only had 6 weeks off, and some examples 4 and 5 weeks off. It completely depends on what you're taking. You need to understand the science of it, and as I say, the science of it is difficult purely simply because ethically and morally, very few studies outside of those where they've actually just asked the athletes in surveys. Very few studies exist where they talk about steroid use in the amounts that we use for performance enhancement for moral and ethical reasons. So it's difficult to get those the science that we'd like, and therefore a lot of it comes from the stuff that we've said, practical experience. And as we do with all these shows, aiming for the majority of the audience to be benefited by the information we give, rather than specific examples of one or two individuals who had a really, really good response that might not be typical of all the listeners that we talk to. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah, and another fallacy out there is you hear a lot of people like, oh, Sustanon, it's really good because you got different esters or clicking in your system, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think there was an old, what was that? I don't know. I think maybe it was an HBO special or something where we're talking about steroids, and
Yeah, I'm laughing. I'm
they're
laughing, Steve.
interviewing some guy, and some guy was on there. He was just some fat guy on there, and like fat bald guy on there. And he's just like talking about, oh, I switched my steroids on cycle because it, and he like, you did the thing, he did this with his fingers. He like this. I don't know if you can hear that. Like he flicked his fingers. It clicks in your system, blah, blah, blah. So people think because Sustanon has different esters, it clicks in
Isn't
your
that up there,
system.
Steve, with the whole receptor thing where the guys talk about
Yeah.
receptors and stuff
It's
like
something
that?
like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, I just
Come
want to go
on.
to him and be like, dude,
Come on.
I'll give you 1 hour. I have $50,000 of cash in this briefcase right here. I'll give you 1 hour to prove what you just said scientifically to me.
Yes,
And I'll
yes.
give you this briefcase of $50,000. Please prove what you just said to me that it clicks in your system differently. Look, at the end of the day, it's testosterone. These are four different testosterone blends. What maybe this guy is noticing when it comes to Sustanon is a different esters picking up one after. And as he
Yes,
injects it over time, it starts building in your system to reach a peak level. And then he thinks, oh my God, it's clicking in my system. No, it's just that it's building up. No different than any other steroid. Even if you take an oral steroid, even if you take D-Bol, which has a really short half-life of 4 or 5 hours, D-Bol will still need about 25 to 30 hours to peak in your system. So as you're taking the D-Bol, it's going to take, assuming you're taking it on a correct schedule, 3 times a day, I'll give you that example, or two times a day even, it's still going to take 25 to 30 hours to peak in your system. You don't just take the D-Bol and then 4 hours later, you know, it's peaking your system. It doesn't work like that. So that's the confusion. And also, the longer it's in your system, the more barriers are being dropped. So there's a lot of I just wanted to clear up these misconceptions about Sustanon that a lot of you are going to hear out there on YouTube forums and everything. And by all means, make fun of these people who say stupid shit like that because they deserve to be made fun of and they deserve it because they shouldn't be putting their necks out there. You shouldn't be cooking in the kitchen unless, you know, you can't handle the heat. And these people need to be called out as being fraudsters because they don't know anything about these compounds. You can tell they don't
Here's
have
the thing.
any
Here's the thing,
experience.
Steve. And I think even we might, arguably, some listener might turn around and say, "Well, that's what you guys are doing. You're trying to sound like you know what you're talking about." But look, it's quite simple logic, right? So if we said, and well, there's no argument for this, that the longer ester, the longest, sorry, ester in Sustanon has a half-life of over 2 weeks, aka 15 days, et cetera, right? And you inject more frequently than every 15 days, you're going to get it built up in a system. That can't be argued with. It's right fucking there. If you're injecting every 10 days, then by 30 days, you've had three injections, and yet it's only half cleared the first jab you gave yourself, in half cleared from the fucking system halfway through the 30 days. So it makes sense that you're building up something in your system. The argument then becomes how long the last injection takes to clear from your system, and you're still going to have a bit of the one from before, and so forth. So that's number one. The other one is, and I'll just throw this in there as well, Steve. when it comes to sounding like you know what you're talking about, but not really. And that's the receptive thing. It's slightly off topic, but I'm going to throw this in there as well. Right. So occasionally you'll see someone who's seen something, read it, but not completely understood it. And to be perfectly honest, receptor science, such as it is, isn't completely understood. We know that certain things work in a chemical way. We know the effects on the body. We don't always, for example, we don't still don't 100% understand scientifically the muscle building process. We know more of it than we've ever known before, but we don't know every element of it. We don't know why this works. We don't know why that works, but we understand it. It does work. And therefore, if this happens and that happens, this is the end result. But we haven't completely got a handle on every single element of it. So the receptor thing is the same. We kind of understand, chemically speaking, and this is the analogy that people use, that the chemical, the molecule is like a key. And if there's a receptor, which is like a keyhole, and if it's the right chemical, it fixes the keyhole and it has an effect. And in our case, we're looking for anabolism, muscle building, or muscle cutting, or fat loss, or whatever, right? And we understand that these are how these things particularly work. And we've got a much better idea of our DNA than we ever had before. We don't understand why certain elements of the DNA are active and others are not, and so on and so forth. But we under, you know, we've it took less time than people thought it was going to work out all those particular things. But I'll give you an example very quickly in a receptor thing, guy. This idea that you inject it into your delts, you're going to grow your delts more than if you injected it. I've always used that. It's stupid. The vast majority of injections are in your ass. We'd all have the biggest asses ever. It doesn't work like that. So the receptor science is silly. Sometimes the clearance stuff's not understood, and people, they've picked up on something, but they haven't completely understood it. Hopefully, with these kind of shows, these podcasts, we try to clear those things up, even for the expert that Steve was talking about earlier on. They need to have a better understanding of what they're talking
Well,
about to better serve
I'll
their
sum it up
customers.
like this. Let's get into dosaging and snacking. But I'll sum it up like this. The difference between what we say and what those people say is we actually go by the literature and the science. Because
Oh, yeah, we look,
if
refer
you
to it
read
while
the
we're talking.
literature on Sustanon by the pharmaceutical companies that came up with it and that are putting it out right now to be used in TRT, they clearly say you're supposed to inject it every 2 to 3 weeks. That's what they say. So unless
Yes.
you know more than the pharmaceutical companies that are actually producing these products, you should probably shut your mouth and stop looking like a dumbass. Next time I will call your ass out, you dumb fuck. I'll call your ass out if you do that shit again. So be
Need some
careful.
doses, Steve, before we finish
Yeah.
up.
You need to get smacked is what you need. All right, so let's get into the I'll send Body Monster to go smack your dumbass. All right, so let's talk about dosing and cycling a bit. So listen, at the end of the day, just like testosterone, I mean, you can go 250 milligrams, you go 500 milligrams, some guys go even higher. It really just depends. But you will need an AI. Very, very important. If you're going to run anything more than a TRT dose, okay, which is going to be an average, TRT dose is averaging about 100, 125 milligrams a week. So if you run anything higher, especially if you go 250 or higher, you really need an AI with it. So I recommend Aromasin, Arimidex. You know, your common AIs out there if you're going to use it on a cycle. Now, cycling Sustanon. If you're going to do a short cycle, don't even bother. Okay. You need to, if you, it's got to be something where you're going at least 12 weeks. All right. Because it's going to take about 70 days for this stuff to even peak in your system. So, really, it's just like running DECA. You know, for example, it's long ass ester. It's going to take a while. So, really, you might as well just run test E or test SIP. Overall, with me, Sustanon is not one of my choices. Okay, when I'm running a cycle, for me, Sustanon would be a choice if you're running TRT or you're cruising for a long period of time. That's where Sustanon would be advantageous because if you're cruising, if you're doing blasting and cruising, and you want to cruise on something long term for like 6 months or a year, Sustanon is a great choice because again, you're getting those blends of mostly long esters. So you can basically cruise on it and you only have to pin it every 2 or 3 weeks. So you only have to pin it like twice a month instead of having to pin it, you know, every week, right? So it's really, really a good option in that situation. So that's how I personally would approach it. And then just like any testosterone, it stacks well across the board. All right. If you want to bulk up, you can stack Sustanon with Tren. It's a great bulker. You can stack Sustanon with Dianabol. Great bulker, great for appetite. If you want to cut down, you can stack Sustanon with Primo, do a long cycle. You can do a 16-week cycle with Primo or Equipoise. That would be really, really good. But again, if you're running anything longer than 12 weeks, you're going into the danger zone of shutting yourself out. This is why, for me, Sustanon is not a good idea for those of you who cycle 10, 12-week cycles. Because again, let's say you go Sustanon for 12 weeks, right? And then you stop the Sustanon, it's still going to be in your system for another 8 weeks, shutting you down. So you're going to be
What?
shut down for 20 weeks or more. That's a long time to be shut down. So it's really not a good idea to be using Sustanon if you like to cycle on and cycle off. So it's really more for people who are long term. I really, really believe that. So yeah, Mobster, what are your thoughts before
Yeah, I
you
mean,
get into the
I've
game?
said before, it's absolutely one of my favorite steroids. I've bulked up, as Steve said, quite well on it when I've combined it with Deca. I've talked about going from 280 to 300 pounds. Something that Steve touched upon just now was the appetite. I've said that for me, and especially back in the day, Steve, less so now, I think, as I'm approaching my max peak on body weight or muscle or whatever. But back in the day, I would be eating a wholesome meal, and I was so fucking hungry, I'd be thinking about the next meal. I was actually looking forward to the food I haven't even had yet while I was eating something, while I was filling my belly. So that's how much of an effect it had on my appetite then. And going from 280 to 300 pounds guaranteed for me was fantastic in terms of me being big and bulky and being able to move the big weights around. A certain element of a feel-good factor to it for me as well, Steve, especially when combined with Deca. I never had any issues with Deca myself, but that was my individual response. It is incredibly popular. We've talked about on shows recently, top 10 steroids, and we did a whole show on the most popular selling. It's still out there. And that's because it combines the essence, because it sort of negates the effect that you're going to have to mix other steroids into that mix. It comes as is. You aren't having to sort of do multiple different steroids. It's already got different combinations for you in the vial, in the app, in the syringe for you, ready to rock and roll. So it definitely has its place. I would argue, perhaps, as Steve said, especially with the longer acting aspects of it, it would be something I could see being used at the beginning of a competition stack, but certainly not at the end, where you want to know, unless you know that the athlete's going to respond for a competing bodybuilder incredibly well and be able to get in shape on it. You wouldn't want something like this at the end of a cycle like that. But again, that's the bodybuilding pros and the competing bodybuilders. For myself as a strength athlete, I've always done well on it, and I can see that being useful in that particular regards. Steve's also correct. And when we talk about being able to do 8 or 10 or 12 week cycles through the year, there's just enough time, for example, to do 12 on, 12 off, 12 on, 12 off. You wouldn't want to necessarily do that with Sustenance. You want something that's going to be a little bit shorter, a little bit less time in the system overall. Listen to the rest of the shows. Let us know your thoughts on it. Do you like it as much as I like it? What's been your experience? What dosages will you use? Let us know on the forums. Let us know in the comments. Tell us what you think about the podcast and any about to follow. Please note, we are not doctors, and the opinions are ours. It is our viewers based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.